Hello, Brian.
How are you? Today is Monday, the 18th of September. Whoa.
It is September.
Three weeks into the football season, 2 weeks into the football season, whatever.
Well, it depends on which football season you're talking about, but yeah.
I did enjoy Colorado State, though. I'm having fun with Deion Sanders being a coach and just messing with people. Oh, are you ready for our new book?
We have a new book. What is it? Answers.
Yes, and the small print says, "The Little Book of."
Okay, The Little Book of Answers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you ready?
Do I have to come up with a question then?
No, it's not like Jeopardy.
Okay.
Why do we call the upper members of society the upper crust?
I have absolutely no idea.
Not even a guess?
I don't even have a guess. I don't even know where that starts.
Okay. In the days of feudalism, when noblemen gathered for a meal in the castle, those of higher rank sat at the head of the T-shaped table, and the rest sat in order of diminishing importance away from them. For such occasions, a yard-long loaf of bread was baked, and the honor of making the first cut belonged to the highest-ranking person at the head of the table, who would then pass along the bread down in order of rank, but always keeping for himself
the upper crust.
The upper crust. There you go. It's scary, you know, how many of these things are logical when you hear it. You go, oh, that makes sense.
And I always considered myself and Bill McCauley the large repository of useless information, but I think your book is going to beat us.
I thought you were going to say the soggy end of the rope. Oh, geez. So what's going on out there that's got your attention other than the price of gas?
Well, of course, we're keeping an eye on interest rates. By all appearances, we're looking at 2.25% increases by year end.
In addition to all the other prices for living, we're not going to get this cranked up, too.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I mean, based on what Powell said in his speech at Jackson Hole, with the inflation's not coming down.
Do they not? Well, that's because credit card balances are going up.
Yeah.
I mean, do they not understand the crush that people are under with this? Or does it just not matter?
So, first of all, it's the Federal Reserve that makes these decisions. Second is they have limited tools. So they used to only have really the interest rate, and then they added quantitative easing during the Obama administration. And quantitative easing is simply a really fancy name for printing of money. So they increase
kind of like collaborative.
They increase the money supply. Yeah.
KIA. Well, a little bit more insight when we come back. It's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about chicken of the sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets. More than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with the bank dude, Mr. Dalby from Redwood Capital. Before we left, John, you were talking that there's an indication that there's going to be a crank up of another 0.5%, quite possibly, on interest rates by the end of the year.
Yeah, Jerome Powell basically teased us with that. You can actually go on the internet and listen to his speech. You know, it's not very long. But he's the inflation fighter at this point. And as we know, it's having limited effect because they have limited tools. And so, you know, my question is, and I'm not an economist, I'm not going to pretend to be, I'm just observing, but based on what I've seen is, you know, some of the big drivers of inflation have been oil prices. And of course, oil prices then impacts everything because
from
manufacturing to transportation, plastics, everything comes out of petroleum products. And so it impacts a great deal, packaging, et cetera. Also, it impacts the farmers, the cost of food production. And at the same time,
it's a multiplier and a hidden also.
Yeah. And so that's a big piece of it. The other one is we're continually reducing the amount of farmland that we have in sales to, you know, China. Bill Gates is buying it up. Various corporations are buying up, our farmlands and taking them out of production. There's a movement to take them out of production and put in solar farms.
So we'll be happy but hungry.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the lights will be on, but the refrigerator...
Nobody will be home, yeah. Okay.
You can run your refrigerator, but it'll be empty. So... I always question, is just simply slowing the economy down the answer to inflation? Are we applying the wrong medicine?
Well, in our area, and I'm sure that there's a number of other regions in the country with housing costs, housing availability, housing cost. It's not as if transportation of raw materials or the manufacturing of the components of a house are going down either because of all these other costs going up. So it really seems like it's at odds with everything that affects standard of living and quality of living in America with continuing to crank this stuff up.
Yeah, ours is a supply and demand issue. On the supply side, we're very limited. There's very little land that can be developed into subdivisions and so forth. So in order to deal with that, most of the cities are looking at density as opposed to, you know, new homes.
Well, like the apartment building that Arcata has down, I guess, if we can date ourselves.
By the co-op.
Well, I was going to say the old Isaacson lot.
Oh, yes.
I don't know how far back that takes us, but
well, I'm glad you're dating yourself.
Yeah, well, at least I get one.
Yeah,
and then the one that Danny Johnson just built out here by Cooper's Gulch, which is the same concept, just the dimensions are slightly different. But is that what we want for our communities? It seems like there's probably very little option, but is that what we want, or are there other choices that are out there if there's some flexibility in the system?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we're having issues with the supply side. And density is an answer, but not a big enough answer. The other side is the demand. And demand is up, although I did speak with a landlord the other day and said that Humboldt State did not fill up all the apartments.
Yeah, there's still some on campus.
Yeah, and so apparently student housing is not an absolute problem at this time. But we do have other projects coming in that are going to attract people to Humboldt County. If we move forward on the windmills, the fish farm, you've got the new cable coming in. We've got, there's one more. Cal Poly was the other one. So we've got a number of things that are going to attract more people here. And at the same time, we've been recognized as a climate change refuge.
Compounding the attractiveness.
Correct. And so that's why we're seeing people move here.
But the people moving here, are they apartment dwellers?
They're not.
Now we're right back in the same boat.
So most of the people that are coming here, and I, you can't generalize because everybody's in a different situation, but a lot of them are equity immigrants that are coming in with a large amount of cash and are buying homes, because that's what everybody wants, you know, or prefers, is to live in a single family dwelling. And of course that keeps the prices up really high, and of course interest rates reduces your buying power, so it's taken homes out of the possibility of most working class people.
Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah. Other than that, it's cloudy outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Trying to stay away from the Lincoln quote, huh?
Yeah.
And the federal government and the state government is just continuing to think that this is the proper direction that we should be continuing to encourage and continue to supply inertia towards.
I'm not. You know, my opinion is...
Oh, break! Sorry.
Sorry.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now...
Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:34. We're back talking shop this morning with the newly saved John Dalby. Sometimes commercial breaks are our friends.
There you go.
You're back time into it. What are you hearing on the street as far as the gas prices and some of these other things? Was it last week? Diesel, which is one I'm sensitive to, went from $6.26... which I thought was
high,
crazy, to $6.80. It had been at $5.99 for a little bit of time, then going to Labor Day, it jumped. So it's almost up a dollar in the last 2 weeks, or I guess 15%. Is this a reflection of national energy policy? Is this, I don't know if we're buying oil from, what, Russia now because we're not able to produce it here locally? Domestically, I don't know what's going on. Do you have any cause with this effect?
And you know, I had a great opportunity to sit down with a very knowledgeable person this weekend and talk about oil prices. But unfortunately,
missed the opportunity.
I missed the opportunity. Yeah. We talked about other things. So with that, you know, I have limited knowledge, but my understanding from listening to the radio. recently the administration cut off the use of some of the lands in Alaska. And anytime same thing we were talking about housing, you start reducing the supply, demand continues, the price is going up. And you know, that's what we're seeing, and it's going to impact everything. I mean, you're going to see another spike in inflation as we go down the road, because this is only going to increase the price of, well, pretty much everything.
Somebody on the radio was referencing automotive sales, where the EV vehicles had been hot and heavy. Now they're on the lots all over the place, and you can buy them quickly, easily. It's the traditional vehicles, I guess, or traditional powered vehicles that are the ones that are now a little bit more challenging to come by. There are all these signals in the marketplace that are saying something, and the regulators don't seem to be grasping what these messages are.
So I think EV vehicles, you know, they have a place. But you've got to build the infrastructure before you ask people to drive an electric vehicle. Now, one of the things...
Well, are you going to turn in your relatively new truck just to drive an EV?
No, I'm not.
Unless gas goes to $15 or $20 a gallon. You know, so it pencils out very quickly.
Well, it depends on what electricity is, because, you know, the first thing we need to understand in Humboldt County is that our electricity is generated by burning natural gas. And so, you know, all you're doing is substituting gasoline for natural gas, and there's some inefficiencies and so forth in the generation of electricity, transmission, storage, et cetera. So, you know, the electric vehicle in my mind is in Humboldt County doesn't make as much sense as it does for, say, my sister who lives in Eugene. Their electricity is generated through hydroelectric. And so that makes a little more sense to me.
Are they pulling out the dams in Oregon?
And then...
just the Klamath, huh?
Yeah, just Klamath.
Yeah, okay.
And then you have, you know, like I have a friend that has an EV vehicle, but he has a bunch of solar panels. And so he actually charges his EV with solar energy. Okay, that makes sense. But then you still got to deal with the fact that where are the rare earth minerals coming from, the slave labor, the strip mining in other countries. You know, I'm sorry. But so there's the problem is there's for what we want, there's no great solution.
There are costs whichever direction you go.
That's correct. And so there is no perfect solution other than just staying home and
cocooning,
you know, walking from one place to another.
Cocooning was a phrase we had in the 90s.
Yes.
Well, it seems like a lot of this stuff is an attempt to legislate behavior.
Yeah. So is the tax code.
Right. But counter, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what this next election cycle comes up with.
Mm-hmm.
The discussions, I guess there's, what, another Republican debate on Wednesday night?
I'm believing you.
Thursday this week.
Yeah.
See what the discussion points are, see what is brought up. I'm kind of halfway excited about this election. Just to find, you know, have things actually visited. You know, we've got here the state insurance commissioner position up for election. When was the last time you heard any discussion about that at all? Well, now with fire and some of the other insurances going stupid crazy, if you get it, I think all of a sudden we're going to start to hear a little bit of discussion around that situation too. So it's, if it wasn't so painful, it'd be mildly amusing.
Insurance is a huge issue for California. It's going to get bigger, it's going to get worse, and it's going to impact people in substantial ways, not only in cost, but also in the availability of getting it. We are already seeing clients that can't get fire insurance. The policies expire, and they're not being renewed, and they're having trouble finding it. And the alternative is the state's FAIR plan, which is very expensive and only covers the fire aspect. It doesn't provide any liability, theft, insurance whatsoever.
Yeah. So is it an option to go without insurance?
If you own your home outright, if you hold a mortgage on your home, you're required to maintain insurance.
At the replacement value?
At the value of the mortgage.
So every year you could, in theory, ratchet down that value replacement.
That's correct.
If that's the direction you were headed.
But you need
to... But the difference in a year probably isn't enough to worry about.
Yeah. You could reduce the amount of insurance that you have. But keep in mind, if your house does burn down or there is a problem... your mortgage will be paid off, but you won't be able to rebuild your home.
You'll have
a
tent site.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one that you can't stay on because you have to get the toxins out of the ground before anybody can habitate there.
Yeah, it would be grand if there was a state ombudsman that had some juice that could really point. So, it seems like we're just gaining speed to run into the wall to have a big dent in the wall rather than a small dent.
Well, this is a self-inflicted wound.
Yeah, but is there an offset, or is there a potential to remedy this before it really takes down the state and a lot of folks with it?
Well, the problem is caused by Proposition 103, which was passed by the voters.
Weans. Yeah.
In was it 98?
Is that the one that established the
state insurance commissioner? Yes. And so with that, instead of having an appointed commissioner, it's now an elected one, which means it's not accountable to anybody else in the administration. And it limits what increases companies can make per year.
And who wants to be upside down? Well, whether it's your business or whether it's your home.
Yeah.
Who wants to be upside down? I guess now it's transferring from businesses to private individuals. Any idea how, are we talking about a 20% cost of living in California with the inflation, with gas, with fire insurance and some of the other things?
It, you know, I could see it above 10 easily.
KINS, news and information time, it's 8:44.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with John Dalby from Rotary Capital Bank. So, John, what's a positive that's out there on the horizon for you? looking, all this stuff is pocketbook issues.
Yeah. So for the individual, it's going to be a challenge. I mean, that's all there is to it. Inflation is just a budget killer. That's all there is to it. There's not a whole lot of Yahoo out there. We should see wages go up, but it can't go up at the same pace that inflation is taking it.
Do you see
on the positive,
a demand for or a desire for people to have second jobs as a way to not lose?
I think we're already there.
But are we seeing it in the private
sector? Yeah, we're seeing it. There's a lot of people that have, couples that have one and a half jobs, that are trying to expand their income. You see a lot of people raising their own chickens now. I mean, that's kind of a fad, so that you can create your own eggs.
Boy, I hope he doesn't move into cows, because then we're going to have that whole discussion again about... Yeah, cow byproduct.
The good news is we're seeing, very limited slippage in the local economy. I mean, the jobs, the businesses that produce jobs, et cetera, appear to be doing well or reasonably.
The employers are, or the employees?
Employers, yes. Meaning your jobs are stable, and stable businesses create more business, create more jobs. It's
when are
we
going to see the impact, or are we going to see a significant impact with AI? I know there's been an awful lot of automation already, just to try to keep pace with the wage. The minimum wage is in the state of California. There's been an awful lot of implementation. Do you see more of that continuing?
A lot of people are really concerned about AI, and there's all these predictions that it's going to destroy mankind.
Well, I'm thinking short-term, more of a
Skynet.
More of a cost containment for employers.
So will technology, and the problem with calling everything AI is you know, what is artificial intelligence. But, you know, technology is always going to make things a little bit easier, but it does create new jobs. You know, it's probably not a one-to-one, but it does, you know, somebody's got to build the robots and somebody's got to maintain the robots. And
know how to oil the robots.
So until you have robots that maintain robots. And then you
That's
need robots.
That's a little Isaac Asimov, isn't it?
Yeah, then you need to have robots that buy the products that the robots make.
Then you buy your island and you just go away.
Yeah, so, you know, are we going to see technology increase the efficiencies of not only business, but hopefully someday governments?
Well, thinking of how do we maintain the opportunity of, or at least the perception of affordability of living in California or living in America? I mean, you know, we can get a little broader than that.
With all the people, you know, leaving California, you would think that we would see some movement from Humboldt County, but there isn't that much. There is some, but more is coming in than is leaving.
Well, yeah, that's well. Are we? Last I saw in the census, we were 155,000. You think we're at 160?
That sounds about right.
Yeah, but it's been there for quite some time.
Yeah. And again, I think that's more of a function of supply than it is demand.
Oh, I thought you were going to say government reporting lag time.
Yeah.
Perhaps it's a combination of all three. Huh? If somebody wants to find out or monitor this a little bit more closely, do you guys have financial updates on the company website? Are there websites you would recommend? I go to CNBC's.
Okay, if you want to know what's going on with the local economy, you go to the Humboldt State or the Cal Poly Economics Department website, and they have an economic newsletter that's published monthly.
And I'm saying more statewide.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
We're at the end of that tail, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, enjoy your $7 gallons. Oh, here we go. See everybody tomorrow.